Professor Barry Shoup, the former executive director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Good afternoon to you, Prof. How are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Simon. Very well. How are you?
Also good, thanks. Always keen to chat to you and learn something new. And today you're going to talk to us about treatment breakthroughs, genuine or otherwise.
That's right. Yeah, you know, this week we're trying to clear up the confusion that's coming from a tsunami of information and misinformation.
Yeah.
And no less with regard to breakthroughs, game changers, miracle cures, claims from the President of the United States of America, et cetera, et cetera. So I really want to try and sort out the wheat and from the chaff today. Clearly, we're desperately looking for that magic bullet, that miracle drug. We all need it. You know, there was a webinar last night. I'm not sure if you saw the report today where they did projections of where we're going with COVID in this country. They're projecting that by the end of this month, we'll be up to 30 to 54,000 cases. And this by November will probably go up to about 1 million cases. At that stage, you're looking at 40,000 to 45,000 to 48,000 deaths and overwhelming of ICU beds and so on. So really, we desperately need at least a drug and preferably a vaccine. But today we're going to talk about the drugs. So let me start with the bottom line that currently there's no proven effective curative antiviral drug.
Okay.
Despite all the claim, despite all the breakthroughs and so on. Having said that, however, let me also say that there's a vast amount of research to try and find one. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of chemicals which are being investigated for their therapeutic potential. We can then narrow it down to about 70 potential drugs which are going either into trials or at least advanced animal experimentation. So there's a tremendous amount of progress with regard to the research. So if we've got all these potential drugs, we've got all these potential chemicals which may or may not have therapeutic value. Where do we go from here? So really what we need to assess, are these drugs effective? And B, are they reasonably safe? In other words, is the benefit that we're going to get from the drug greater than any side effects or any problems which it may cause? We always start off with some anecdotal observation. I think we've all heard of that if we try potato salad, then that's going to help this individual. So we need to kind of assess, does potato salad work and is it relatively safe? And to do that, we do an experiment which is called a clinical trial. And what we mean by a clinical trial is that we set up an investigation which is designed to compare outcomes between a randomly assigned group which is treated with that potential drug versus a control group who are not treated or are given a placebo, something which looks identical to that potential drug. And we assess, is there a meaningful difference between those two groups? So that's really how we go about, and after the break, I'll talk about how we go about searching for effective drugs with regard to COVID and why there are difficulties. Why don't we have at the moment any effective drug and how successful we have been up to now? The next phase, how do we go about searching? What do we look for when we try and develop drugs, therapeutic drugs, and how much progress have we made? Well, there are a couple of ways in which you can attack the problem. The first most obvious one is to attack the virus directly. And that's really how antibiotics work with bacterial infections. We design drugs which will interrupt the metabolic pathway of the bacterium, antibiotics. Those pathways which are specific to the bacterium without affecting the patient, without affecting the human being. So we look at targets which are bacterial specific. The problem with viruses is that viruses don't have a metabolic pathway. They depend on the cell that they parasitize for their replication and so on and so forth. So the targets are very, very much more difficult to look for than in the case of bacteria. And that is why, in fact, there are relatively few antiviral agents which work against viruses. So we look at the ones which are available to potentially use against coronavirus, try and repurpose them for coronavirus. The one which has probably had the most success is a drug called remdesivir. That's a drug which was originally designed for Ebola, and yeah, it has had some therapeutic value, but it can only be given in a drip. intravenously, so it's really for sick patients. But preliminary trials have been actually quite encouraging in that situation for the very sick patients. But other than that, there hasn't really been much progress for specific antiviral drugs. The second way is that we can look at various pathways in the human being, in the human patient, in other words, which can prevent the virus from multiplying in the cell. And here we come to the famous chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, the malarial drug.
Yes.
The one which Mr. Trump takes every day.
Yes.
it has a complex pathway, the way that it works. It can modify the way that the virus attaches to cells. It also raises the pH inside the cells. I won't go too much into the biochemistry of it. But as a malaria drug, in fact, it's not used anymore because the malaria parasite is actually resistant. So it's not very effective for malaria. And it is used quite effectively for lupus, lupus disease and rheumatoid disease. But there's really no evidence that it is at all effective in treating coronavirus. There's more and more literature coming out that, in fact, there's very little or no therapeutic value for chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. Sorry, it's a readily available drug. It's quite a cheap drug, but it does not appear to be effective. Then there are various ways you can look at interfering with the immune response in the patients because that does contribute to the damage. Another way of approaching the problem is to look at antibodies. I think in a previous one we dealt with the monoclonal antibodies.
Yes,
we did. Remember, we can give antibodies to a patient to assist them to recover from the infection. We can either get it from blood donors, from individuals who've recovered and who have a high titer of antibodies. We can ask them to donate their plasma, we call it convalescent plasma, and give it to a patient to recover. Or we can develop it in the laboratory or in industry from what we call monoclonal cells, cells which produce antibody and use them as factories to make antibodies. Or ideally, we can use a combination of all of these. And this is probably where it's eventually going to go. Hopefully there will be some kind of magic bullet which will be developed. But remember, we are at 4.5 months into the, or coming on 5 months into the pandemic. It's a very short time. You know, it took about 5 to 10 years to develop good anti-HIV drugs. So they are going at a quite a lick to develop drugs. And hopefully there will be in the not too distant future, probably will not be something like an antibiotic, but something which can at least be used in the clinic, in the hospital, to treat patients. But this is where we are at the moment. There's a tremendous amount of research on all these kind of avenues.
The mind boggles, Prof, that there is all this cooperation worldwide. I think very few things have pulled the world as together as this has. We have AI. We have more computing power than ever before in the history of our species. We've sent rockets to the moon and satellites are orbiting the Earth. I just don't understand how we don't have the power to defeat it. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why, because you've got a very, very tough and a very, very clever opponent. And it's very difficult to try and find something which is going to knock out that opponent and not going to affect the individual, the patient.
The person out. Because
a virus, remember, is a very, very simple thing. It depends on the host cell. And anything that you're going to do to poison the virus, you've got to see that you're not going to poison the host cell. You don't knock off your patient. So, you know, as President Trump said, you can, of course, inject somebody with disinfectant. It will certainly kill the virus off, but it will probably kill
take them out as well. Prof, that's where we leave it. Who thought we could laugh about COVID? But there you have it. We just did. And we'll chat the same time again tomorrow, Prof.
Thanks very much, Simon. Thank you. All the best. Yeah.